Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. This is the B segment, the guest segment, and we have a wonderful guest for you today, Delaney Ivey, who is a professor of pharmacy practice at the University of Texas, their branch at Austin. And to get to be specific, she's in the pharmacy school. Delaney Ivey, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, we're going to talk about what happens when a drug is recalled. First of all, how often are drugs recalled? And is it getting, it seems to me it's getting more common. Is that right, or am I just imagining that?
It has been a lot more often than I think that we previously have had, specifically with specific types of medications. I know the big thing that's really been is the blood pressure medications, where previously this was something people didn't hear very often about because they may not have taken those medications that have been recalled. But with blood pressure affecting so many people, it's very common for people to be on one of the medications that have been removed or recalled. And so that's kind of caused, I think, what we would see as an uptick in the amount of recalls or awareness of it anyway.
Now, when a blood pressure medicine is recalled, what should a patient do if they see this in the press? Or what do you know, and you can, since electronic medical records have come about, you can tell what normally happens. What happens here is that at the Cleveland Clinic, we have everyone on electronic medical record, and they will send a message or several messages, both to the email to look at their, quote, my chart, which is their electronic medical record, to see a note about their medicine. But what would happen? What happens in general?
So the big thing would be, obviously, that most of the time the patients are getting, you know, it through the news or whatever. And I would say at that point, if they hear about that, I think it tends to contact their doctor first. But I think it's sometimes difficult for the doctor because of the fact that they don't know specifically what medication was dispensed from the patient, for the patient from the pharmacy. So I would say the first place for the patient to call if they hear about that is to call the pharmacy, because it may find out that
so
the medication...
They're to call the pharmacy where they got the drug, meaning not any pharmacy,
yes,
but the pharmacy where they got the drug has a record of where that drug came from.
Yes. Yeah,
and
so
they
would be able to look and see if that one's been affected.
And so let's just say it has. What's the normal thing? Are these serious recalls, meaning when they recall it, does that mean you should finish the box you've got, or does it mean you take it back to the pharmacy, or is there a variety of things?
Yeah, so there's a variety of things that can cause a recall. So there's basically three different classes that the FDA puts them into. So the first one, so class one, is the most serious. So that's when there's a dangerous or defective product that can potentially cause death. So in that situation, obviously, contacting someone and potentially stopping your medication immediately would be the best option. The next class is a class two, and that can cause maybe a slight concern or slight threat, maybe a temporary health problem that can occur, and so that can be a class two. That one, you can potentially go ahead and continue to take it until you found out if your medication is the one that's truly affected. And then the class three is when basically the FDA has asked for a recall, not because that it's going to cause any sort of adverse health reaction for the patient, but more along the lines of that there's specific labeling and manufacturing laws that maybe were violated, or there's a problem with how the label looks on that specific product. So that one wouldn't necessarily cause harm. So that one they can go ahead and finish the medication as they've previously been taking it, because it shouldn't cause any type of harm.
So the common drug, Losartan, I think got recalled, and one of the surprises to me was that different companies, different generic companies, were purchasing it from the same manufacturer in China, meaning it was purchased from, surprising as it may sound, a whole bunch of companies purchased it from the same place, which I couldn't believe, but that's what it was. And so they all had the same origin. How common is that for different generic companies to purchase it from the same manufacturer?
It's honestly not very common. A lot of times when you step into a pharmacy, you'll see that there's different generics and they all look different. And that's typically because they're being manufactured by various different companies. So that's actually not as common, I think, as this like problem actually showed or potentially was an issue for this one.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona Assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
Now, let's talk about other drug recalls. In other words, and by the way, as you said, there are 150 different medications approved for high blood pressure, and so you can always find, you can almost always find one that is still approved, that if you will, you can use. So that's it. Usually we can get you on a good blood pressure control. It may be a little problematic during the transition from, for example, Losartan to something else, but it still is something we can often do. But tell us about, are there other, you mentioned there are serious other drug recalls. First of all, it was Losartan's a 1, 2, or 3?
I believe it was listed as a 2. Well, the hard part is that because the carcinogen that, you know, that's basically what it was saying. So it could cause a threat, but it doesn't necessarily lead to death, at least initially. So they had listed it as a class 2.
And are there other, give another example of a drug recall. In other words, is there any drug recall in cancer where the patient couldn't get any drug because of it? Or, in other words, we often hear of short supply. So, for instance, BCG has been in short supply for treating patients with bladder cancer. Was that due to a recall or a problem at one of the manufacturing plants, or why was that in such short supply?
So there's a couple of things that can happen why there's short supplies of medications. Some of that can be just there may have been a recall, and so they've had to stop manufacturing it, or something's going on that's slowing down the manufacturing process. And so those are like two of the big things. A lot of times, unfortunately, I think it kind of goes, you know, to a back of our basic economy of supply and demand. So there are times that they slow down the manufacturing of medications to help with the demand, to meet the demand. So slowing down because it's not a high demand medication, so that they can shift it to other things that may be more high demand.
And so, what does one do in that case? How do you get around that? Is there any way around it easily?
There's not a huge way, best way around. I mean, the big thing would be like if there's another medication that would treat that particular problem to try to get to that. But if there's not, then we're unfortunately kind of stuck a little bit. There are times that we can seek out and see if we're able to get medications a little bit faster. But most of the time, it's mainly just waiting for the manufacturer to produce more medication.
We're talking with Delaney Ivy, IVY, who is a member, she's a professor of pharmacy practice at Texas A&M at the Irma Rangel College of Pharmacy. And website for more information would be TAMU for. I'll just TAMU.edu/ or forward slash rather pharmacy. TAMU.edu/pharmacy. And she's in the College of Pharmacy. And obviously, I think pharmacists are the most underused, most valuable people in the healthcare system. So I believe that most patients should have a consult with their pharmacist almost every time they're changing drug or going to a drug they're going to take for more than 3 or 4 days. Delaney, are we short of pharmacists in the country?
So the demand has changed a little bit in the last couple of years. So previously we were under a pharmacist shortage, but there's been a shift in the amount of pharmacists who are coming out of pharmacy school. So there's been more pharmacy schools opening. So at this point, we're not actually at a shortage. So we're actually getting close to having a large amount of pharmacists for the care that's needing to be provided by them.
So, talking to a pharmacist, having that consultation with one when you get a new medication should be able to be possible.
Yes. So, I mean, anytime that you step into a pharmacy, there's always going to be a pharmacist there if the pharmacy's open. And so, definitely, there's possibility to be able to talk to that pharmacist. I will say it's in even in a hospital, there's always pharmacists that are available. In a clinic type situation, there's not always a pharmacist available, but that's definitely an area that's growing, and it's becoming more and more common to have pharmacists in clinics to actually help right after a medication is prescribed or right before a medication is prescribed.
Got you. So I want to thank you. Tell me anything else you want to tell me about the subject on drug recalls, because you've answered all my questions. There are three classes. In class one, you stop it and see your doctor. In stop two, in case two, you continue and see your doctor soon. And in class three, you can finish the prescription, so you listen to what classes it is. You probably can find that on the drug company's website. And the first thing you should do, obviously, is call your pharmacist and find out if the drug you have is one that was recalled, not that it was Losartan, but it was Losartan from Teva or Losartan from whatever Pharmacia. So you want to know the exact company that made it, and if they're under a drug recall. What have I missed of what I should get, Delaney?
I mean, I think those are the big things. I think the big thing is really for patients to, not panic when they hear that their medication is potentially been recalled, because it's very possible that your specific medication that you picked up from the pharmacy is not being affected by the recall. So it could be 100% safe. And in fact, one example that I can kind of think of from something that was just recently recalled, and I had a patient concerned about it. Was that Relpax, a medication for migraines, was recently recalled, but it's only the 40-milligram tablet and not the 20-milligram tablet. And so the patient that I had talked to was on a 20-milligram tablet, so their medication was not affected. So it was okay if they needed to take that medication.
So there you have a very specific example of the very great use, the very positive use of a pharmacist. Delaney Ivey, it can be reached through tamu.edu/pharmacy. Thanks very much for listening. This has been podcast number 961B. The B are always the guest segments of You, the Owner's Manual. The A, the latest news of the week and what it means to you. You'll want to listen to last week's guest of the week, Catherine Kate Carriker Jaffe, a senior scientist at the Public Health Institute's Alcohol Research Group, who talked about secondhand drinking, something I was totally unaware of, not like secondhand smoke, but secondhand drinking, and why it is so different is a great segment. And of course, one of my favorites in the last little while was, if you will, the interview that was given by Dr. Gundry on living younger at any age, or I guess he called it, and I'll get the exact title. It is, How to Die Young at Any Age. That was 954B. And the other one that is great was 955B, Shelley Feast, How to Reduce Food Poisoning in the Partnership for Food Safety. Thanks very much for listening and downloading us. Tell your friends about us if you like us. Randall, thanks for great engineering. And Delaney Ivey, thanks for being a guest. We'll be back next week.